Ohio. Hey, it's me, Nick. This is Nick Flanagan Weekly, and I'm here. And yes, it wasn't weekly yet again. I missed a week. Trying to really come to grips with something here as I sip my club soda with a little fake vanilla extract in it to give it that vanilla flavor. Trying to sort something out. Yes, I feel guilty for missing a week, but I don't want to come into the podcast with, you know, guilt. That's a terrible way to enter a piece of entertainment for the culture to enjoy. So, or is that just a theme? Is that just my vibe? Guilt, you know? I've certainly had people think I was guilty when I was not guilty. So maybe if I project guilt, what seems like guilt to the outside world, and maybe in this case is guilt I really feel, I'll just have to accept that. That's the vibe of the podcast. Welcome to Nick Flanagan Guilty. Maybe that's what I need to change the title to. Well, I'm Nick Flanagan Guilty, the post-court wrap-up of my most recent case. No. But that would be a good podcast if a person who got arrested all of the time did a podcast every time after the verdict, if he's found guilty, about that. He or she, or they, doesn't have to be any specific gender. I've always said that about guilt. I've switched out of my cat sit mode, and now I'm back in house mode. The amount of things surrounding me in my domicile that I am trying to resell are vast. I'm looking at CDs now. I'm looking at a Jamie Walters, aka Ray Pruitt from 90210. I'm looking at one of his CDs. So someone might want to buy that. John Fahey CD. I can't even believe I haven't listed yet. You know that'll go. People love John Fahey. And you know who's part of that people group? Me. John Fahey's great. Paul McCartney, All the Best. I bought a Paul McCartney CD called All the Best. Been to like 8 thrift stores since I bought it. They all have copies of All the Best. What am I doing? Is it All the Best? Like, what songs are on it? Is this even a Greatest Hits? That would be a good name for Greatest Hits. Looks like it is, because it's like Band on the Run, Ebony and Ivory, which I always forget is his, I guess. My Love, that sounds like a popular song. I don't know it offhand. R.I.P. Denny Lane of Wings. He died a little while ago. We speak your name. Lou Gossett Jr., we speak your name. How happy was I when I watched Boardwalk Empire as it was coming out, and there was a season where Lou Gossett Jr. had a small part. Now, there was an actor I grew up seeing because he somehow was in movies that were sort of adult, but like youngsters were allowed to see. I don't remember anything about Iron Eagle or Iron Eagle 2. But I remember I liked Iron Eagle 2, and he was in it. I think he was maybe in... Was he in The Principal? Or was that the one with Tom Berenger? Remember that movie? Was he in Digstown? I think it was Digstown he was in. But The Principal was with Tom Berenger, and it was about a principal who really takes no guff from his students and beats them up and probably solves a drug ring or something. It's not the greatest movie. Speaking of which, I tried to start a movie yesterday. I've got the VHS hooked up to the TV. Did I mention this? This is a big deal. I have my little VHS TV that's combined. It's like 13 inches. I use it to play my little video games, the Sega Genesis Super Nintendo type games. But then I have another TV that's larger for general media, modern media. However, I've tricked the new TV into accepting the old VHS via the use of the proper cords, which are just regular cords. VHS is connected to it. I'd been trying with this TV and I couldn't figure it out, and it was something dumb. I sorted it out. I watched a YouTube how-to video by like an 11-year-old, and he explained it so well. Let me tell you, you want to watch one of these how-to videos? Watch the ones by the youngest person. They're not going to explain it in too much with too much complicatedness. They're not that worried about monetization, because if they're under 18, all the money goes to their dang darn parents. and we know how youngsters feel about their parents. They say honor thy father and mother in the Bible, which is very popular because it's Easter right now. It's at a high, it's peaking in interest, the Bible. But a lot of these kids, it's, they don't honor the father or the mother until later when they're like, you know, they tried their best. But not all of them think that. Sometimes they deservedly don't think that. Anyway, so I've convinced my partner to watch a couple things. We watched Center Stage, which was this movie I picked up. It's a ballet film along the lines of Fame a bit, set at a prestigious ballet school in New York City. Manhattan, to be precise. And Peter Gallagher is in it. You know Peter Gallagher. He's got those angry eyes, but they're striking. And then he's got them supple lips, but you know he's going to lecture you any second, angrily. And then it has this, actually, Zoe Saldana's in it, too. And, you know, we started this, I'd started it a while ago, and I was like, this movie is actually drawing me in. But I still didn't think it might be, like, that top shelf. Watch it with Sarah. My gosh. Center Stage tells a good yarn. Great little Fame-type movie. Give it a try if you like that kind of thing. Center Stage. And if you like seeing people dance, well, there is some dancing in it, so you may enjoy that. But last night, I came home. I worked at a concert for the first time in a while. Great show. Desgraciados. Punitive Damage. And Lice. And Syakal, which is a very interesting hardcore band with lyrics in Farsi. And a Persian lead singer and a very Latin, Latino group of dudes playing the music. So it's a really cool combination. Anyway, I worked the show, came home, all cooked up, ready to rock further, janked. I want to say jacked up, but that sounds like it has connotations. Anyway, so I pop in 9 and a half Ninjas, a film that I had picked up at one of these somewhere along the way. I know, as a connoisseur of VHS, I know if it's some weird-ass thing from the 90s and it's on video, someone, it might actually be worth money. Not that much, but, you know. So I got 9 and a half Ninjas, and I put it on. I guess it's supposed to be in the vein of those 90s movies. There was Naked Gun, obviously, before that, Airplane. And then after that, there was Hot Shots. And then you had Mel Brooks did Men in Tights and Spaceballs. R.I.P. Richard Lewis, one of the all-timers. Another R.I.P. All I do is R.I.P.s here. Look, I honor. Anyway, I'll get into something I thought about that, too, later. So, pin in honoring. But put in 9 and a half Ninjas, it's like a farce, but they didn't really cast any comedic actors in it, so it's got all these jokes, like constant jokes, like a guy gets out of a car, falls down, that's the joke. So it's kind of like, and it's not played straight, like you could get dramatic actors playing something completely straight that's full of jokes and that works. It's in some weird in between, and it's, you know, about some guy who was trained as a ninja. And then there's a greedy realtor, real estate tycoon who wants to blow up all the, take all the buildings, and he has to fight back. And let me tell you, the jokes, like, they do land, but how do they land? Upside down most of the time. A lot of the jokes, I would just go, huh, or I'd go, what? And it was, I haven't finished it, but I might finish it tonight. And let me tell you, 9 and a half Ninjas, it takes a special type of taste to get a kick out of it. And my years as a teenager of watching just utter crapola. My friend Dave had a video store near him where there was a deal called Five for Five, where for five hot dollars, you would get five not so hot movies. Anything that wasn't new release was fair game. And boy, did we dip into the garbage bin and watch some crud that way. But 9.5 Ninjas, it definitely harkens back to those times. And if you've seen it, let me know what you think. weeklypodcast@gmail.com is the contact email. I beg of you, send me some encouragement. Hello, I like the podcast, that type of thing. Except for you, Fiona. You can if you want, but you're a very vocal and helpful supporter. Anyway, I'm going to leave in like 10 minutes, so this is going to be a split in twain recording process. I have a concert to go to that I'm not working at. I'm actually seeing it. And it, again, harkens back to my past. All I do is revisit the past. But it's all the past, isn't it? Unless you're in the recording studio or the songwriting process or someone's first show. That's when you're present for something new. Everything else is the past. Except I guess I'll be seeing people perform, which will be in the present. It gets crazy. This time stuff, you don't want to go down the time logic. I'm seeing MOP, which stands for Mash Out Posse, and Kool G Rap. Two icons of similar but different styles. Basically, I'll start with Kool G Rap. Kool G Rap is... I think he's from Queensbridge, but he might be from Brooklyn. I have to check. Kool G Rap is a rapper who first came to super fame, or whatever you'd call it in the hip-hop world, with the song The Symphony, which was called the Juice Crew. Marley Marl released a single called... The Symphony, and it was with Kool G Rap, Masta Ace, Craig G. Was Masta Ace on it? Craig G was definitely on it. Was Bismarcky? Yeah, I think Bismarcky was on it. God, now I need to go over that too. Anyway, Kool G Rap is from Queens, Corona, Queens. And he said it was like a little Harlem in an interview in The Source. And he kind of started alongside Schoolie D, I guess you could say, Just Ice, some other people, maybe Boogie Down Productions, the East Coast gangster rap sound, and Flo. He was maybe the main, and Big Daddy Kane influenced Flo and Rakim too, but Kool G Rap was so street. He also was apparently on the album Paid in Full. That's pretty, that's Marley Marl actually. Anyway, The Symphony featured, God, I'm all over the map here. The Juice Crew featured the Craig G, Big Daddy Kane, Bismarck, Kool G Rap. Anyway, so now that that's sorted out, that was Marley Marl. That went on and Kool G Rap does a great verse on that. So he's like, you want to listen to Wanted Dead or Alive, the album, Road to the Riches, all kinds of good songs. There's a really good later album called 456. He's just tough, fast street hip hop. He's a legendary rapper. He's considered one of the pioneers of the, I guess you call it like the second generation of MCs. Then you got M.O.P., Mashout Posse, Billy Dance, and Lil Fame. Their most famous song is probably Ante Up, which has Busta Rhymes and Remy Ma. A guy named, I think, Teflon's on that too. And that's just like the most aggro song you've ever heard. It's total... like basketball, NBA game kind of song, you know? Yap that fool! Kidnap that fool! So they were almost like alongside DMX and Onyx. They're like yelling rap. Arr! But they are so solid as MCs, and they work beautifully as a team, and their songwriting within their back and forth is a great thing. So I splurged. I'm going with my friend Mike, who has been on this podcast before, and we are going to... see M.O.P. and Kool G Rap, and I'm going to do that in like 10 minutes. I gotta hop a train, get to the Phoenix on the other side of town. Am I looking forward to that part? Not totally. I wish it were next door, but you know, it'll be worth it. And yeah, I'm trying to really figure out. I get to see a lot of new music because I'll be helping run shows or something where there's new bands. But my listening is, it's so trapped in either stuff I grew up with or things that are connected, or a lot of the time an artist will die and that's when I'll get into them. Does anyone else have that? Talk about feeling guilt. It's definitely one of my guilt situations, you know, because everybody posts online when someone dies. Oh, now everyone's a fan. They didn't even care about them before. Well, look, it's just that the book is closed when someone dies on their output. So it's maybe less daunting to hop right in. You know, you get into a new artist and suddenly they put out 3 albums. You have to judge each one. Then they have another album. And all you're thinking to yourself, the anxiety. Oh, when's their new album coming out? I don't want that hanging over my head. Old artists, maybe there's collections or unreleased stuff, but you don't have that thing. What? I hope the new thing they put out is good. Their last interview was weird. I don't want that. If it is my lot in life to honor those who have come before and not honor those who are coming now on the scene, I'll live with it. Okay? I'll live with it. But that being said, a lot of good new artists coming down the pike. Okay, I'm going to go. I'll give you an update on how the show goes in a second. In a second, like, for you. For me, it'll be in, like, a few hours or tomorrow. That's when I'll give you the update. But you're going to hear it in a second. Okay. All right. I'll see you in a second. One night later... That wasn't an edit in, you know, that's not a bridge. I'm starting again, and I just started by saying one night later, because it's one night later. Over 24 hours later, just a little bit. Did I want to record today? Yeah. But guess what? I got home from this rap show at like 2 a.m. I had to be up to dine with my family in the morning. I didn't get enough sleep. And then, what do you know? I have suddenly hopped on the computer and it's almost the end of the night. And that's okay. That's okay. I think the show was cool. The Phoenix Concert Theater, a hallowed venue in Toronto. It's been around for a while. That was where I went and saw rap legend Kool G Rap. His name involves what he does. Actually, every part of his name is true. He's cool, he's a G, and he raps. And he came on first with a couple of, I guess you call them hype men, this really cool two-man team. And then he was there, he was wearing black gloves. He's 55 years old. I don't know if you know about Kool G Rap. I'm sure some of you listening do. Those who don't, I'll try and do cliff notes if I didn't already say it a second ago yesterday. He started in the 1980s. He must have been super young. And he pioneered this like multisyllabic flow, metaphors like crazy, and really street. Most of his songs had that like early hip hop thing where they were like sort of lessons. You know, so he has a bunch of songs that are sort of saying, hey, this is what's going to happen. You know, this is life on the streets, but you could get in trouble. And then, like, as the 90s went on, it was just about the life. He dropped a lot of that stuff. And he comes on, the guy's got his breath control. The guy's got his flow, his voice. It's all perfect. And he probably played for, like, 40 minutes. The crowd was just super into it. I have no idea when the last time he was in Toronto, but it wasn't recently. And it was like, some of the people there were like music nerds. Other people were like from like the hip hop community from a long time back. There were like Caribbean people there. And of course the classic 40-ish white guy, facial hair, stoked as hell. And we all enjoyed ourselves. And then MOP come out, they're yelling, they're screaming, the guy, Billy Dance, and Lil Fame, the two MCs of the group, and their DJ Lazy Lays. Those guys, again, they're incredible performers, and their voices were really solid. Yeah, it was just a great time. And then I got a lift up to the subway station. Cool. No, not cool. Subway's closed, and they've got shuttle buses taking you to the subway where it's open again. There were a bunch of subway stations that were open. I go to the few subway stops, get out of the subway, have to wait 20 minutes for a bus that goes south, and then I got to walk home. So yeah, it was a grueling end to it, but it was really fun to see the show. I bit the bullet. I spent the money, took my friend Mike, who, you know, really introduced me to a lot of hip hop when I was a young teenager, and I really love seeing well-executed hip-hop shows where I've, like, got the lyrics all memorized. It just is, like, super thrilling. I can't explain it. It's, like... And I would say at this point, if there are, like, classic rap groups that you like and they're coming to your town, a lot of the time, they're gonna be good. Because these... Not just hip-hop, but all artists, but and especially older artists... really rely on touring, you know, so they have to have a good show. So you'll probably get a good show, especially with freaking ticket prices these days. Am I right? What's the highest ticket price you've paid for a show? Let me know. I would really like to know. Would I? I don't know. Yes. I'm going to read a little thing from a dialectical behavioral theory exercise book, because it's hard. These, I don't know where you guys stand on this whole disaster in Israel Palestine, but the conversations about it are just, they're just awful. It's like nobody's having, two opposing sides are having very different conversations and very different concerns. So, actually getting anywhere with it is difficult. Maybe it's because Passover is coming. I know I'm going to have a big Passover dinner. So, if anyone else is going to do that, and you just want everyone to have what sounds like a heart for the entire human race, maybe this thing that I've randomly opened up will help. Enhancing your mindfulness skills. This is from the Dialectical Behavioral Therapy Skills Workbook. Which is by Matthew McKay, PhD, Jeffrey C. Woods, Society.D, and Jeffrey Brantley, MD. Enhancing your mindfulness skills using kindness and compassion. In dialectical behavior therapy, a core how skill is being non-judgmental. In mindfulness-based stress reduction, a mindful approach to stress reduction developed by Jon Kabat-Zinn and others, non-judging is the first of seven attitudes considered to be the foundation of mindfulness practice. The others are patience, beginner's mind, trust, non-striving, I'm good at that, acceptance, and letting go. Yet you may have noticed that it is not always so easy to be non-judging. In fact, the habits of judging and criticizing are deeply ingrained in nearly everyone for a wide variety of reasons. Because of the deep habit energy of judging, meditation teachers have long taught the importance of building a foundation for mindfulness upon attitudes of kindness and compassion. For example, the well-respected meditation teacher Christina Feldman has observed that attention, awareness, understanding, and compassion form the basic skeleton of all systems of meditation. She goes on to say, "Compassion is a fundamental principle of meditation. Meditation is not a narcissistic, self-interested path. It provides a foundation for love, integrity, compassion, respect, and sensitivity." In recent years, health psychologists have begun to look more deeply at positive emotions and attitudes and their role in promoting health. The rich tradition, positive is in quotation marks, by the way, The rich tradition of positive mental health inquiry builds on the work of psychologists Gordon Allport and Abraham Maslow in the 1960s vision of human capacity and potential. Of particular interest on this theme is that expanded human potential has been one of the primary goals of meditation training since ancient times. Contemporary health psychologists and researchers Shona L. Shapiro and Gary E. R. Schwartz have written about the positive aspects of meditation. They point out that mindfulness is about how one pays attention. In addition to the seven attitudinal qualities identified by Kabat-Zinn, Shapiro and Schwartz suggest that an additional five qualities be incorporated to address the effectiveness, the effective or heart dimension of mindfulness. The five heart qualities they name are gratitude, gentleness, generosity, empathy, and loving kindness. Loving kindness deserves special mention. It has been popularized by the meditation teacher Sharon Salzberg. As healthcare professionals learn more about loving kindness, this form of meditation is gaining popularity in a variety of healthcare settings as a meditation practice that supports mindfulness and also carries healing potential of its own. Loving kindness is variously described as deep friendliness and welcoming, or as a quality embodying compassion and cherishing, filled with forgiveness and unconditional love. It is a deep human capacity, always present, at least potentially. It can be seen when one observes a mother tenderly caring for her child. Loving kindness can be powerful and can be a powerful aid to your mindfulness practice. All you need to do is to admit and allow feelings of kindness and compassion into your way of paying attention mindfully. Resting in kindness this way, with compassion and affection embedded in your attention, can protect you from the deep habits of judging and criticism and support you in the how dialectical behavior therapy skill of being truly non-judgmental. There you are, randomly reading you to remind, reading, randomly picking something that is reminding us just to approach everything with compassion as much as possible. And what's crazy is this creates a non-judgmentalness. I think that there's a view maybe that approaching everything with a kindness or open heart can sometimes almost indicate a naivete. And almost a vulnerability and thus a weakness. But maybe that's not the case. I always like to think, if I get effed over, you know what I mean when I say F, it's not on me. You know, someone chose to do that. Someone chose to take advantage or exploit something. Now, look, if you want to keep the thing that got taken, well, maybe protect yourself a bit. I don't know. Talk to your bank. But I think in general, trying to approach things with that expectation of best intentions, as I take a deep sigh and think about how hard it is to do that, given the world we live in sometimes, how it can feel, I do think that overall that will be better for this little ball of soil that we call the world that we all live in. Yeah, I think starting over from last night, the podcast means I'm kind of going to keep it short today, tonight, and hopefully get you a new one really soon, another new one. So for now, I'm just going to say, check out MOP. Check out the song, How About Some Hardcore? Check out the song, check out the Kool G Rap album, Wanted Dead or Alive. If you want to hear some of that good hip-hop. And you can check out my comedy album, Wiped Privilege, while you're at it. Why not? Give it a try. I think it's on Bandcamp. You can buy it. And if you want to support the podcast, ko-fi.com/Nick Flanagan or even patreon.com/Nick Flanagan. And if you want to write me, please do. Nick Flanagan. No, wait. I'm Nick Flanagan. But the podcast email is weakly podcast@gmail.com, weeklypodcast@gmail.com. Rest up if you're listening and it's Monday. Have a good week. If you're listening and it's Friday, have a good weekend. It's Easter right now.
Hey.
Easter Sunday. That's when I'm recording this. 29 minutes, it won't be Easter Sunday anymore. So I'm gonna make the most of my Easter Sunday, and I'm going to go baptize myself with water in my mouth so that I'm hydrated. Okay, bye. Be well.